Hey everyone, welcome back into James chapter 3, part 2. This is going to be a great one, talking about the idea of true wisdom and where it comes from and really the importance of it in our lives. I'll tell you, we are so distracted in our life by so many things. You've heard me talk about this before, and I think, hopefully, at the core of us all, regardless of your age or what you've done in life, the goal is we want to try and do things to really use our gifts and abilities and feel fulfilled in life. And that comes in a lot of ways by using our gifts, which comes obviously by understanding true wisdom of what those gifts are. And we have to understand where wisdom comes from. So before we jump into that, as always, I'd like to take a minute and have a word of prayer over this time. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for those that are listening. Thank you for those that have joined us. We ask for wisdom from your Holy Spirit, that the words gone out from your word would actually penetrate not only minds, but also the hearts that are listening. And we would use this as an opportunity to improve our lives, not just listen and hear and walk away, but actually improve and change our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's jump in here. True wisdom. This is starting again. I'm using the New Living Translation version, first time jumping in. By the way, if you're first time jumping in here and you're watching this and you haven't gone to leanintotruth.com, there's a great several series that we've done there already that I want to challenge you to go to and check out. A lot of good stuff. And make sure that you're sharing some of these things. Get your friends involved in the process. So that way, as you grow and develop, Lord willing, they can be growing too. There's nothing better than having friends that are growing, developing in their process along with you in life. Makes the journey a lot easier, quite honestly. Verse 13 of chapter 3. We'll start there. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. You know, I was just thinking about that. You know, we've all gotten annoyed by people sometimes that do good works just to say, hey, look at me, you know? And I got to be honest with you, I've been in that situation before in life where I've done things because you want kind of attention. But as I've developed and grown in life, I realize, you know, sometimes I'm involved and I do things that sometimes nobody knows about. You may never see. Whether you follow us on social media or different things, there's some things I share, but there's a lot of things that I do that no one will ever know about. And so that's how just my journey of how I'm developing. And, you know, I think it's important to think about that. Doing good works here, verse 13, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. It's just always something that we want to strive towards. Verse 14. If you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So let's unpack this because there's a lot here. You know, it talks about the idea that if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover that up with boasting and lying. So obviously, a lot of times when people are jealous or they're acting selfishly, they'll kind of say and do whatever to protect kind of me, myself, and I in a lot of ways. And God's word here in James is telling us, don't cover it up with lies or boastful word, which is like a puffed up spirit saying I'm better than I really am. So that way, you know, it looks different. James says, don't cover it up, because what happens is the goal here is to expose internally what's inside of us. I think that's why it says here initially, it says, but if you are bitterly jealous in verse 14, it says, but if you, in other words, it's the idea that you and I are honest enough with ourselves to truly take account of our own lives and actually evaluate, how do I operate in life? You know, because I may, to the outside world, look pretty amazing, but how do I actually operate? Am I in a place where I'm operating selfishly? You know, it's easy for us to point the finger and say they're selfish and they're selfish. But it's harder for us to do this and point the finger internally and say, wait a minute. You know, I didn't know you were talking about me, Mike. I mean, let's just, you know, compared to this guy, I'm pretty good. Well, that's not the measure. The measure is, you, comparing you versus against and connected with God's standards. And so God's standard is perfect. We know that. So at the end of the day, the question is, where are you at in life? And are you in a situation where you're evaluating your situation and saying, you know what? Okay, gosh, I noticed that in my life, there is a desire for selfishness. I see other people that have maybe achieved certain levels of wealth and things, and I find myself striving after things because I'm jealous of them. It's a big thing in our culture today. We see everything all over the place, and there's nothing wrong, again, with working hard, making money, buying things, flying. You'll see me flying helicopters, private planes, driving a nice. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. And I'm not saying that to say, look at me. I'm saying there is nothing wrong with those things as long as in your spirit, you're in a place where you have, we'll call it the materialism, under control. You have to evaluate yourself. You have to evaluate whether or not you're owned by your stuff. And if you're in a place where the things of this world, the idea of more money and more things is guiding you, then you're not operating from the lens of true wisdom. Because you're allowing your selfish ambition and jealousy to kind of drive your daily life. And that's why God says here through James, listen, don't do that. Verse 15, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. You know, what does the Bible talk about Satan? Rob, kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the world kind of communicates. Get as much as you can for you, all about you. Don't worry about others. Doesn't matter who you hurt. It's all about you, 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 you. Now, they may code it with the idea that we're really care about other people, but then in the back door, money's sliding to the next evil pocket. It's important. We saw that through some of the riots that happened a little years ago. There's a big movement that happened that a lot of people got involved in back in 2020, 2021 type years. And people were like, oh my gosh, I got to give money to this organization. And then found out later that the leaders of the organization were corrupt. So I want to challenge you to think not only in your own personal life, but you in your life as you live it, what are you involved in? Verse 16, I have this highlighted in my Bible. It says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Now, I just want to pause there and I want to ask you a question and just evaluating how are we doing in America right now? And maybe in the world right now. When we look at all of the disorder, we look at the jealousy, we look at the selfish ambition, the desire to grow and have more primarily for me and not really to add value to others. The Bible says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. I think as we look at our culture right now, if you're not blind and you're looking at eyes wide open, we realize there's a lot of disorder and there's a lot of evil in our world. And oftentimes we can ask the question, like, what is going on? Like, what happened? What changed? Well, what changed is people started operating in more of a mass scale through the lens of jealousy and selfish ambition. The result is disorder and evil of every kind. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. So now it's talking about true wisdom. So what it was doing here, James was talking about worldly wisdom and what that looks like, the wisdom of the world, where we chase after what we want. It's all about us, me, myself, and I. Listening to WIIFM, what's in it for me, right? That's kind of the MO. And now in verse 17, James is transitioning and he says, okay, we see the result of this evil wisdom, worldly wisdom, which is just kind of get stuff for you. Now I want to talk to you about what it looks like if you actually have wisdom from above, from God. So verse 17, James says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. It is gentle at all times. It is willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So think about this. It's literally in a place where it's James is saying that true wisdom, wisdom from above, is peace-loving. Not war-promoting, but peace-loving. It's gentle at all times. It's pure, as he said in the very beginning. In other words, you can trust it. You can trust it. It's not like, you know, if somebody hands you a glass of water and they're like, hey, you know, have a drink. And let's say it's from somebody that you don't trust. You're like, is this pure? Did they add anything to it? Is there any acid in there? I don't know. Like, and you kind of have it and you're like, okay, thank you. You know, you have this reservation in your mind. Well, what James is telling us is there is no reservation with God's wisdom because it's pure. We can rely on it. We can stand firm on it. It's wisdom that is peace-loving and it's gentle at all times. It's willing to yield to others instead of saying, "Nah, you wait, I'll go." I mean, just look at the example of what Christ did on the cross. That's literally yielding to others. That's an example. That is a physical example, outpouring example of his love for us. He's willing to yield to us and say, "I will take your sin on me. I will." Jesus says, "I'll take your sin and my sin on him. He will die in our place because of the severity of sin and rise again and then provide an opportunity to heaven as we accept him." So it's willing to yield to others, true wisdom. Listen to this. It's full of mercy. And the fruit is good deeds. It's like going and saying, okay, what is the fruit? You know, a lot of times in life, we can be in a place where like, I'm working hard. And then at the same kind of sentiment, people can be like, you know what, I don't really feel like I'm moving forward in life. In other words, the fruit that is being produced from your work is not actually doing anything productive for your life, which means you should probably step back, a little side note, step back and evaluate your life and say, gosh, maybe my hard work is not something to be proud of here. Maybe I'm working on the wrong stuff. Maybe I need to rethink how I'm living my life and what I'm doing. Because what tells us here is the fruit of wisdom is good deeds. In other words, we'll see quality things that will come out of it. It says it shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Those who are peacemakers, verse 18, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. What I hear from that last verse is God's telling us, you know what? I got you. That's what I hear. You're a peacemaker. You're in a place where you're planting seeds of peace. The Lord understands what you're doing. And our work is not in vain. Now, obviously, the benefit of understanding and knowing Christ gives us the ability to operate in the Holy Spirit. And now we're laying up treasures in heaven, which the Bible talks about. But I think it's so important when we say, and kind of to wrap this part two of James verse chapter three up, is we got to evaluate our lives and we got to say and ask the question, and I'm going to challenge you and me with this question, and that is, what wisdom are you listening to? Is it the wisdom of the world? Is it the wisdom of the most popular person on Instagram or globally, or the most popular singer or artist or musician, or, you know, just what wisdom are you listening to? Or are you listening to wisdom that comes from God's word that is time-tested and that is, as we've read, pure, it's reliable? And when we find ourselves in a place where we're so busy in life, we're moving at such a pace and so fast to the next and the next and the next, which is kind of our culture today, we can find ourselves distracted from the reality of finding real truth. And so my challenge for you is to slow down and honestly internally evaluate your life. And maybe for the first time ever, say, you know what? Am I moving down the path of where I really want to go as a person, not just financially, but as a person? Who do you want to be in 5 years? Who do you want to be in 10 years? What do you mean? What do you want to be known for? When people say, you know what, when I think about John and Sally and Christine and Rebecca and Melissa and Nathan and, you know, Jeremiah and, you know, whatever it is, when people think of you, what do they think of? Like, gosh, you know, they were a fun person, great to be around. They were encouragers. You know, they really uplifted me. They encouraged me. They add value to my life. They were just a happy person. You know, they always were looking to find ways to improve others' lives. And it kind of reminds me of the thought that Zig Ziglar says, which is, if you help enough other people in life get what they want, ultimately you will get what you want. And that's how this journey works. That's how God designed it. He created it that way. As we add more value to other people, we find more value being added into our own lives. It's just the way it is. It's kind of a principle that God set in motion, a role that God set in motion that's kind of reality. So take some time to evaluate you and where you are in life and how you operate and how you act. I want to thank you for joining me for James chapter 3. I'm excited to kind of jump in here. James chapter 4 gets into the idea of drawing close to God. What does that look like? It's going to be exciting. Tune in, dial in. See you soon.